Off on Sunday afternoon. We will beginning a new series on Wednesday nights, either next Wednesday or Wednesday after that. This evening, I'd like to talk a little bit about when setting goals, some things to consider. When setting goals, consider this. I know that sometimes in January 1st, people look forward to the year and say, here's some goals I have for the end of the year. And this is what I like to look like at the beginning of 2024. And some reason, just because it's the beginning of the year, people think, hey, I'm going to be able to conquer the world this year. I'm going to turn out and do all these wonderful things. And I think that's great to have God-given desires and God-given goals in your life. But as we're considering these things, there's some things I think we should take into consideration as we are establishing things we'd like to see change and happen in 2023. I guess I'm a little bit different than most people. Usually life is so busy all the way through Christmas, even through New Year's, I don't really start really considering goals for 2024 or what, 3 or 4 until these days after the New Year's, just because there's so many things going on leading in there. Some people say it's a relaxation time between Christmas and New Year's. That doesn't always happen for me. So if I haven't really put a lot of planning, and of course there's planning all around, all throughout the year, we're already working and thinking about what the theme for the following year is going to be, and also, you know, what the Easter program is going to look like and what the Christmas program is going to look like and all these different things, planning for Kids Crusade coming up and which summer camps to go to. All those things happen and you're thinking and you're planning all the time, but it seems like something happens on January 1st or somewhere nearby that we say, this is something where I'm going to become more disciplined in certain areas to accomplish something that I have not been accomplishing. Something I'd like to see change, something I'd like to see happen differently in this present year because it's a new year versus the things that did not happen the way maybe I wanted to or expected them to. And I like to, as most of us do, take at least a little bit of time to consider. I like for us to look at this and take some things, probably about 5 things I want you to consider, and I'm hoping that in these 5 different things, this will be a blessing and encouragement to you. One's going to be a reminder from the Sunday afternoon service, and then we will continue going on. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, some famous verses, we looked at it Sunday afternoon, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So when you're looking at what goals or what specific resolutions or things that I like to see happen in 2023, first thing we need to consider is consider who you belong to. Consider who you belong to. And we spent about 15 minutes on that on Sunday afternoons. So they're not going to belabor the point, but I do want you to think about this word consider. The word consider means to fix your mind on something with a view to a careful examination, to think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate on. It means to think or reckon, to reason with thoroughness and completeness, to think something out carefully, to reason thoroughly and with careful deliberation again and again. That's a bunch of different definitions from different dictionaries and different sites, just talking about that word consideration. And I believe it was a few years ago that was our theme. We wanted people to take the time and thoroughly consider this. And that's what I want you to think about when these goals that I've set for 2023, and maybe you've already set them, maybe you've already started them. Probably some of us have already started some things and we've already stopped doing some things. I think if we establish some right principles and look at the things that are important and set some spiritual disciplines, things can be different this year versus to what they have been in the past. So consider who you belong to. Now, after that, I would like for you to consider your God-given roles. Consider your God-given roles. Now, they're different for different people. Obviously, there's some that apply to others and some that apply to all that are believers. But if we're considering who we belong to and we say that we belong to God and we've been bought with a price and that we should take our body and our spirit and glorify God with our body and our spirit, if we're going to do that, then we got to think about, okay, what roles has God given me in this life? And when I'm considering these roles that God has given me in this life, what is the priority of these roles that God has given me? because I don't think we can really truly understand what our future aspirations, what our future motivations, or what our future considerations or our future goals should look like until we understand, hey, I belong to God, and God has given me certain roles in my life, and if I will prioritize what these roles look like, then I, in the end, can look more like what God wants me to be. And sometimes it gets out of whack. Sometimes it gets to the point where, hey, the fact that I am a parent takes over priority that I'm a child of God, and that shouldn't be that way. Sometimes my friendships or my relationships take over responsibilities I have with my wife or my husband, and it shouldn't be that way. So as we consider the God-given roles that you have as an individual, remember what it said in Haggai chapter 1 a few different times. There was this phrase, consider your ways. Consider how you do things. Consider your ways. Thus saith the Lord of hosts in Haggai 1:7, consider your ways. So consider your God-given roles. And I wrote down a few of my own, and once again, my roles in some ways are going to apply to yours. Some won't. First thing I have is a role in my life, and I think it's the most important, the number one role in my life is the child of God. A child of God. My relationship with God should take supreme authority over every other relationship. My identity is found in Christ. It's the central role in my life. That should be where everything else outflows. Because of that, I need to make sure I have specific goals. When I'm thinking about the goals that I'm setting, I need to say, okay, if my first and foremost responsibility is being a child of God, how do I set up myself to reach the goals that God wants me to? Remember, I belong to Him. I've been bought with a price. And because of that, let me consider, okay, if I'm a child of God, what type of disciplines do I need? And then we think about Bible reading, we think about praying, we think about all different types of things that we consider how we develop our relationship with the Lord, and how many times we develop our relationship as a child of God. Spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in meditation, spending time with other spiritual disciplines will cause our relationships to grow stronger with the Lord, grow stronger with God. And so that's one thing we got to say, okay, if I'm going to set the goals, and I want to have the right goals, not the things I want, but the things that God wants because I belong to Him, I must remember that as I'm setting these goals, let's remember that my first and primary relationship is the child of God. Now, I think second on my list, and some people might disagree, but second on my list is my wife, as a husband. That is my second responsibility. That's my second priority. I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. I'm supposed to give myself to her, and I'm supposed to, and once again, marriage is one of the greatest gifts that I believe God's given me. One of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest privileges is to be married to my wife, and it's one of my greatest responsibilities that I must learn to steward. I must learn that my relationship with my wife is more important than my relationship with my children. My relationship with my wife is more important than my relationship with others because she is my responsibility. And so as we look at that, when we consider our annual goals and the things we might like to change and things we might like to do, I must remember that I have to keep my relationships right. And so if I, at the end of the year, want to be where God wants me to be, I must give priority to my wife and my relationship with her. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes that gets mixed up. Sometimes that gets taken out of order. But it's important that we recognize who we are as we become one in the flesh and responsibilities that God has given us and what God desires for us. Then I consider my next responsibility as I'm looking down at my God-given roles, I think of my responsibility as a father. Once again, I'm the Christian and Andrew's biological father. So there's no one else that can take that spot, no one else that can take that role. Once again, another one of my greatest gifts that God's given me. So when I'm considering my priorities and I'm thinking about where I want to be health-wise, where I want to be financially-wise, where I want to be, all those other things are fine, but what are my number one priorities is, hey, how's my relationship with God? What does that look like? Because the only way I can be the right husband and the right father and the right pastor and the right friend is when I learn first to be the right child of God or man of God, however you want to put that. And then the only way I'm going to be the right father is if my relationship with my wife is right. Because if my relationship with my wife is not right, then my responsibilities, I'm not stewarding that wonderful relationship that God's given me. And then I think about relationship with my children. Next, I think about it on my list, and it's only on my list because I'm the only one that's been called to be the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. That's the next thing that's on my list, as after being a child of God and being a husband and a father, this next role being a preacher, pastor, the call of God on my life is something that I consider a great privilege, and I must learn to steward that. And I must make sure that my priorities line up to, hey, I'm not going to put so much emphasis over here on this physical thing that it takes place of my responsibilities as a child of God, as a husband, as a father, or even in the ministries that God has given me. Because that is one of the most important things also. And some people say, well, they seem like they fight against one another. They don't. They blend together beautifully. If you love the Lord and your wife loves the Lord and your children love the Lord and your church family loves the Lord, it works together beautifully in one unit. As the Bible talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we have a bunch of people that have the mind of Christ, boy, it's going to be a great, wonderful experience. You know, what is Christ known for? What is God known for? I mean, he's known for love, and he's known for mercy, he's known for grace. Yes, he's known for holiness, and he's known for justice. But at the same time, I mean, what do we see in the scriptures? We see that mercy and that grace and that love he has. And that's something that should be demonstrated through all of us and with all of us. And so as you consider the ministry, and I think that should be a priority in your life, because as a child of God, it's going to be a high priority in your life. And I'm not going to keep on going for the different roles. I will mention a few others, but I won't explain any further. But I consider my extended family, talking about the relationship I have with my parents and my in-laws and my relationship with my brothers and my sisters, my relationship with my friends, the friends I have, whether it be spiritually minded relationship, ministry relationships, or even just relationships with others that I'm trying to win to Christ. These are all different, a relationship with our work, a relationship with all different type of things. And God has given us all these things to consider and think about as I'm making these plans. We might take out our pen and say, okay, in 2023, I want to, and we start writing down, this is what I want. I want to become and be healthier, and I want to be wiser with my money, and I don't think there's anything wrong with those things, but it must come back over here and say, what does my relationship with God look like? How can I get this stronger? What is it, if this is the most important thing, my first plan and my first goal, my first priority be, how do I work on this relationship? And then I consider, as he has given me relationships with stewards, I see what's most important. You say, Pastor, that seems a little too impossible. Well, the great thing is, if God has given you these relationships, he's going to give you the ability to do what you're supposed to. Let me say that again. If God has given you this relationship, he's going to give you the ability to do the things that you're supposed to. Now, sometimes there are relationships we have to put on hold, or maybe not spend as much time with, maybe not do as much of the entertainment, maybe not to do as much as the hobbies and things like that, to focus on those things that are most important. But over and over in Scripture, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If he's called you to be the child of God, in the sense that once you're saved, he has an expectation of your love for him and your service for him, he's going to give you the ability to do that. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue on working. You can have confidence in him. Philippians 2:13, I like this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will, to give you the desire to have these goals, to will and to do his good pleasure. So not only does he give us the will to do what is right, he gives us the ability to have it accomplished according to his time and his plan. So when we're considering these goals, and maybe it's good to write them down, because I don't know how many of you go back and look at the goals you had at the beginning of 2022 and you're thinking, man, it didn't turn out at all like I'd expected. Instead of being lighter, maybe I'm a little heavier. Instead of having more money in the bank, I have a little bit less money in the bank. Instead of winning this many people to the Lord, I didn't even do this. Or instead of memorizing this many passages of Scripture, and sometimes we get disappointed. But that's why I think we must be smart. We must be specific when we ask these goals, and we go before the Lord and say, Lord, give me put in my heart the desire of what you want to see in my life for 2023. And show me what it is that you would like for me to end up like at the end of 2023. So remember these things. He gives us those things. So what does God want from me in these roles as a child of God, as a, if you're married, and also with children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, wherever you're at in your life, and with your church family and with other relationships that you have. What does God want me to do with these roles? That's what we need to ask. That's how we get specific, and we work in a measurable term in the fact that God puts things in our hearts, and they're things that we can attain, and they're things that we try and work with. So the third thing, don't only consider who you belong to, but also the God-given roles. Consider the latter end. Take your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy, all the way back at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. I remember as studying during that, the idea of the consider year theme, we came across these verses, and they were really a big encouragement to me. And it talks about consider your latter end. So as you're thinking about these goals, and you're thinking, okay, as a child of God, as a husband, as a father, what changes do I need to make in my ministry and in my other relationships? What is it that does that look like? And I'm here at the beginning of 2023. I take inventory of where I'm at here. Then I think about, okay, what is it that I want to look like, or what is it that God wants me to look like at the beginning of 2024? What does God want for these roles in my life between the beginning to the end? And consider those things and say, okay, if it is a certain number of scriptures, if it is a certain amount of time, and I know sometimes people are critical. You talk about your prayer time, you talk about your hour with God, and you make it minute-wise. And no, your prayer life should be an overflowing time. It shouldn't be a stopwatch and a clock that you say, oh, 5 minutes is done, time to go to the next 12 and next part of the 12 and next part of the 12. But sometimes that helps people at the beginning as they grow and they learn, and as they understand, they stay on track. At the end, they realize, you know what, I can pray for an hour. And there's nothing magical about 60 minutes, but you know, Jesus himself said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And there was something there that says you couldn't even do that. But so many times we mark it off the list, and we read a few verses, or recite a few words in our mind, or go down a certain list, and it's dry, it's mechanical. There's nothing, there's no worship there. So if we continue to live that way, at the beginning, at the end, you know what's going to look like? It'll look a lot the same. Actually, more likely, you're going to look a lot worse. Because if you're not in a vibrant relationship with the Lord, that coldness and that deadness is going to get harder and harder. Heart's going to get harder and harder, and it's going to show more and more. It's important that we say, okay, what is it that I want to look like in 2024? And let's try to make it personal. What I did on January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, if I did the same things these last 3 days in my spiritual disciplines, what would my life look like on December 31st, 2023? Because once again, if we want to make these changes, it means that we set up goals and plans to dictate what it looks like to be able to accomplish, to be what God wants us to at the end. So consider the latter end. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verse number 7. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 7. He says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. So he says, look, consider those days of old. Consider those that have wisdom. Consider those that would be able to help you that are older. Now, go down to verse number 29, and we're not going to stay a lot of time here because it's a topical type message. It says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. So I love that verse. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that we would be wise. That we would understand this. And that we would consider our latter end. Because many times we have desires of what we want it to look like at the end of the year, or consider what we want it to look like at the end of our lives. Oh, that we would be wise. That we would understand this, that the decisions we make today, and the follow-through we have each and every day, and with our spiritual disciplines and with the things that God has given us in our lives, they may sometimes seem boring, sometimes they may seem mundane, sometimes they feel like, is it really making a difference? And we listen to the devil, and we get discouraged. But he says, oh, that they were wise, that they had the wisdom of God, if they would listen to the elders, and they would listen to their fathers, and that they would understand this, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. What is it going to look like at the end? Because if we wanted to be something, look like something at the judgment seat of Christ or at the end of our lives, if we're hoping for certain things, that means we have to take steps today to reach those goals at the end of 2023, or to reach those goals when we meet him and when we're at the judgment seat of Christ. If we want to hear, well done, thou faithful servant, it can't start all the way to the day before we die. The well done, thou good and faithful servant is they've realized something, that I want that someday. I want to hear those words. I want that crown. I want that. And so even in our own lives, when we talk about a year and setting goals, let's remember who we belong to. Let's remember these God-given roles, that we must work on the relationship we have with the Lord, and relationship with our mates, and a relationship with our families, and a relationship we have with our church family, the relationships we have maybe with coworkers and friends, to be able to look like what he wants us to look like at the end of 2023. We have to take that in consideration. I cannot ignore my Bible, and I cannot ignore my prayer life, and I cannot ignore my thought life. I cannot ignore these things and expect to be where I want to be or where God wants me to be at the end of the year. There's some realities in our life. Pride swells up in us all. We must learn to die daily. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. If we would say, oh, that they were wise, they would understand this, that they would consider the latter end. I know I'm flesh. I know I'm weak. I'm not going to underestimate the devil. I'm not going to underestimate his fiery darts. I'm not going to exaggerate my own abilities. I'm not going to exaggerate my own talents, my own position, my own desires. No, I'm not going to think highly of myself. Instead, I'm going to realize that if I do those things in the latter end, I'm not going to look the way that God wants me to. Instead, I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be vigilant. I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to be seeking him. We got to think about this, that many Christians that are well known and respected did not finish well. There's many people that we know that later on in their life, the victory just never was won. They went into autopilot. Solomon warned Rehoboam of moral dangers, but Solomon himself fell. We think about it, that there are those that towards the end of their life have given up, and it's because they did not consider what it was over here as their goals and things that they were setting. And I want to encourage you today, if you want to end up right at the end of the year, be faithful, lest thou give thine honor unto others. His words of warning were a sharp reminder that victory is only assured through vigilance and through God's grace. So consider that latter end. Don't think so highly of yourself that you think, I can get there on my own. We probably didn't get there on our own last year if we did it on our own. We didn't get there the year before. Some reason, because we think it turns 1-1, that something magically happens. Now I'm going to be so spiritually disciplined that I'm going to set the world on fire. We need God's help. Somehow I'm going to be so physically disciplined that all last year I didn't want to exercise, but hey, it's January 1st. I'm going to go join a gym and I'm going to exercise every day. Probably already stopped. So, I mean, it's the idea that if we consider the latter end, what is it that we continue on the path that we're on? If we continue on the path that we have set ourselves on this past year or even these last few days, how much have I read my Bible? How much have I prayed? How much have I really talked with the Lord and consider his words and all those different things? What is it I'm going to look like over here? Because there's something I'm unsatisfied with in 2022. That's why I'm setting a new goal in 2023. There's something I need to change. It'd be great if our honest answer was, hey, I just want more of 2022. It was filled with blessings. God worked in my life and I grew, and I feel like I've accomplished something for the Lord, and God's used me and blessed me, and I praise the Lord for that. And hey, let's keep on moving forward. But most of us set goals because of the fact that we're disappointed what happened the year before. We knew with God's strength and God's help we could have done better. So we set goals. We set things in our lives. We set things that we want to say, hey, I want to end well. and go past 2023, go past 2024, and consider what your end of your life is going to look like. Remember, it's appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment, that someday we will be at his feet, bowed before him, judgment seat of Christ. Acts 20:24, the Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And it says, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received to the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I might finish my course with joy. Do we have joy in our heart and our life? I think that should be one of our goals, because you know what true joy is found in? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm joying and relishing in, and I'm thankful for all those things that he has done, that he has built up in my heart, and he has built up in my life. So what will it look like? What did our spiritual lives look like? I know you're here on a Wednesday night. You're here on January 4th. Church membership or church faithfulness is not something that many of you struggle with. But we see how sometimes people slip away and they stop coming, and they have a goal. They want to be there and they want to be faithful. They want to be a spiritually strong Christian, but we let little things slide away. You know what's going to happen? We're never going to reach those goals that God has desired for me. And I don't know what your list looks like. And once again, usually lists look like some financial goals, some physical goals, and for Christians, some spiritual goals. And whatever those things are, wonderful. Did you take heed and consider what was said Sunday afternoon? I don't belong to myself. God, what is it you want me to do? And then take a step farther and says, what is it that you want me to do in the roles that you've given me? And look at that, what it looks like as a child of God. Look what it looks like as a relationship with your family and your mate. Look what it looks like with relationship with your church. Because it's found right here what those things are supposed to look like. So last but not least, consider what your priority should be. Consider what some of your priorities should be in this. And just a few things, and we'll go through them quickly. So what should your priority be? Well, if your priority is supposed to be as a child of God, I think we should have it prioritized in God, time in God's word. We should prioritize time in God's word. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is no magical formula. There's no magic beans to spending time with the Lord. It takes time. It takes discipline. If we want to stay out of sin, we must make a commitment. That commitment should be something to spend more time daily with the Lord than we did last year. He said, what do you mean more time? Well, if our love grows, you're going to want to spend more time with them. If you remember when you were first in love, you wanted to spend more and more time with the individual. Funny thing is, after years happen, it seems like they want to spend less and less time together. And there's reasons for that sometimes, but many times they're questionable reasons. In the front of this book, in front of my Bible, it says, this is not mine, someone gave me this. And it says, it was their Bible for many years. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And I've seen that it's been underlined at different times in different colors in ink, just because there's a reminder there. It was highlighted in one color. It was underlined in another color. It was written in another color. It's just a constant reminder there. If you want to spend time with the Lord, if you want to have the right goal spiritually, this is it. You can't, there's no other way. The answer, there's no other equation outside of his word. Not only do we want to commit to God's word, I think we want to make a commitment to being sober, not making provision for our flesh. Bible says in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Satan's always looking for an opportunity to defeat you. Satan's always looking for a way he can land blows. He's always looking for a way he can enter in. So I think we must learn to be sober and be vigilant, probably is a better word, is to make sure that on purpose, if I'm going to reach my goals, I need to spend more time in God's word, but I need to put up walls of protection around myself. I need to make sure that if I'm going to reach my goals, that I'm not going to let the devil use media, use places, use people to create a temptation for my flesh. I need to make sure that I'm setting up goals so that way in the end, I know if I spend too much time looking at this or being a part of this, and that it's just not going to make a difference in my life. That we don't make provisions for the flesh. That's something we make sure that we make no provision for the flesh. And go along with that is because we need to have a pure thought life. That's got to be a priority. I need to spend more time with the Lord. I need to make sure that I'm protecting that because I need to protect my mind. And over, there's plenty of scriptures, but probably the most famous one, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And this is something we got to get to and we got to remember is that we need our thought lights to be pure and we need to be humble and we need to cultivate godly relationships. These are all things that we say, these are priorities. I need to make sure that I'm spending time alone with the Lord. I need to make sure I'm being protective of myself, that I'm not letting wicked things into my life and that I'm trying to have a pure thought life and that I'm trying to make sure that I don't become prideful because the Bible says, wherefore, let him that think if he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, how many times do we make our commitments at the beginning of the year because we think, you know, I can handle this. I can get up every day. I can force myself. I can. And the question needs to be, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Because in your strength, I can accomplish all things. In your strength, in my weakness, your strength is made strong in me. Not only that, we think about cultivating good friendships. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance as a friend. You know, your relationship should be something that you're trying to get somebody to help you reach those goals. There are people out there that are not going to help you on your Christian walk. When we talked about it on Sunday, we're not ignoring anyone else. We're not trying to be, we should have relationships where we reach out to others, but we need to guard our relationships to make sure that there are not people who are stopping us from reaching the goals that we have. There are people who are going to sharpen us, and there's people who are going to dull us. There's people who's going to make us stronger in our faith, and there's people who are going to hinder our faith. And you say, well, how do you know who they look like? Do they look like Christ? Do they act like Christ? Do they want just something that you want to be like? And we need to be careful that we are having the right relationships. And you become something that you be accountable to someone. Be accountable to your partner. Be accountable to a close friend. Last but not least, walk in the fear of the Lord. If you talk about fearing the Lord, there are so many things that are promises that are connected to this. Fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. Sort of like, blessed is the man, blessed. And they're tied together. There's promise after promise after promise. If we will learn to want to do things God's way. This past Sunday, we try to teach in the junior church the class, we try to teach them a Bible word every week. So many times we preach and we teach different things and we talk about this, and I've been working on a sermon in our Blessed series, I'm sure it'll come up sometime, about listening, about obeying. The word this past week was about obedience. And so, you know, you do, and it's a simple thing, you know, you do what you're told, right? You do it when you're told and do what you're told when you're told with the right attitude. But I told him at the beginning, there's something you got to remember. You got to listen to what you're being told. One of the things that I find challenging in the day and time that we live in is that people don't always listen to their authority. They do what they think is right, and they do what they think that they think their authority would want them to do, instead of specifically listening to what's being asked of them. If you ever worked in a management type thing or had people that worked for you, yes, they get to know you. Hopefully they get to know your heart. Hopefully they get to know the rules and guidelines that they don't have to ask you every little question. But it's a dangerous spot when we start thinking, hey, this is what he would want me to do, and it really isn't what the authority wants you to do. I spent a lot of years in management, nothing special. Most of the time it was with, you know, entry-level employees, and they didn't always listen. They didn't always follow instruction. And they're specifically, and they says, and sometimes it's frustrating, and I'm sure we'll use the illustration whenever we teach the lesson. You know, it's like, well, if you would have told me that, then I would have done it that way. You shouldn't have to tell somebody to do something a certain way because of all the different consequences, because you never know all the different consequences that go along with it. When you ask somebody to do something, you expect them to do it a certain way because that's the way you ask them to do it. And that's why I think sometimes we struggle with God. We don't live in a fear of him, of disappointing him and not doing it his way. We instead feel like we have a good under knowledge of the Bible, a good understanding of the Bible, and whatever decision I make and however I want to make it, it's okay. Instead of saying, God, how is it that you would want me to do it? What is it that you would want me to say? Instead, oh, no, I already know what God wants. I already know what God, and we, with confidence, many times with pride, this is right, without really have ever read our Bible or consider what the Word of God said concerning it. And we can live like the flesh and have sin in our life and be hypocritical in certain areas and still boldly say, this is what God wants. We should be humbly praying and living in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. If we would walk in the awareness of God's presence every day, in every conversation, every place we go, every decision we make, if we remember the Lord's presence and we say, consider, what does God think about this? Boy, I think it would change our lives. And I'm like you. I've been a Christian for many years. 40 years. That's exciting to say. At the same time, it's humbling because I should be farther along than I am. And 40 years, of course you know you have the heart of God. Do I really have the heart of God if I'm not seeking him daily? Do I really have the heart of God if I'm not meditating and spending time with him? If my love has grown cold, can I really speak for him? Yes, we can know the scriptures, but do we understand the heart of the scriptures? Are we saying it the way that God would want us to say? Are we treating others as we're going through the book of Mark? It can open up our eyes as we see the way that Jesus calls the people that none of us would have called. He treats others the way that none of us would have ever treated them. He looks at things like the Sabbath, and he looks at things like he talked about fasting, unlike the Pharisees and unlike the religious leaders, even unlike John's disciples. They missed the whole thing because they thought they had it all figured out. They thought, this is it. This is what God wants. But they missed the whole point. Why is that? Because they didn't learn of him. They learned of their own thinking. I want to challenge you today. The blessed man is not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to stand in the way of sinners. He's not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, it's in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Those are the ones that we want to say, here it is. This is the people that can set the goals that God wants us to have. So as we're listening and asking God, because I know what, if it was me, this is what I think God wants my goals to be for 2023. I could write down a whole list of things, of what I think they should be. But if I consider my roles, maybe there are some things that I should leave off and increase over here, so I can be a better child of God. Maybe there are some activities I need to scale back so I can be a better husband. Maybe there's some more teaching time that I need to have so I can be a better father. Maybe there are some other things I need to learn how to focus on more so I can be a better pastor and preacher instead of focusing on other facets of the ministry. Maybe there are some better ways I can be a friend. You know, those are different things. In my mind, the goals would all be, hey, let's get physically better. Let's get financially better. Let's get numerically better. And yeah, we'll say, let's get spiritually better. Let's slap that on there. We want that. But am I going to take steps to make that happen? I need to consider the latter end of what's going to make me in my God-given roles that God wants me to have and do to look like he wants me to at the end of the year. And I think that would have some priority of spending more time with him, walking humbly, making no provision for my flesh, fighting and dying daily, and having a clean mind, walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, could that mean better physical things? Sure can. Could that mean better financial things? It can. Can that mean better spiritual things? Definitely. So today, you think, Pastor, I already have all my goals. Wonderful. Go back and look at it again under this impression. Here's my God-given roles. Am I doing well in these roles? If not, what can I change to help make sure that I'm a better child of God more than being more wealthy? Because the priorities should be there better. Because we can get so blessed by the Lord. Nothing wrong with being financially stable. Thankful for that. Nothing wrong with being physically stable. Thankful for that. But what am I going to look like as a child of God with the goals I have today? Remember, consider the latter end. Because the steps that happen today is going to be what you're going to look like in the end. Not just the end of 2023, when we're at his feet at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this church that you've given us. God, I pray that, I know we're all busy, and this idea of considering is something, is like, who has time for that? But Lord, as we find a quiet spot, quiet time, help us to thank you for the roles that you've given us. Being a child of God, what a privilege. Lord, you gave us the power to become the sons of God. Help us never take that for granted. Help us to encourage and work on that relationship more than any other relationship. Help us to be thankful for our mate. Help us to want to aspire to have a better relationship with them. Help us to want to raise our children and help with our grandchildren, help with our great-grandchildren, and the other extended family we have. Lord, help us with our ministries at our church. Lord, help us with our other relationships also. Lord, help us to take some time to say, if I continue on the way I am, I'm not going to be what you want me to be. Help us repent of that and get it right. If I continue on with this sin, or if I continue on with this attitude, or if I continue on with this bitterness, or if I continue on with this, I see how it's not going to end well. Lord, help us to be wise and understand this and consider the latter end. Lord, help us to prioritize those things such as Scripture and being vigilant and having a pure mind. Help us to prioritize being humble in our prayer life with you. Help us to prioritize godly relationships and prioritize those that will help us and encourage us in our walk as we walk in the fear of the Lord. Lord, we look across this room tonight and we miss people that aren't here. And Lord, help us to show them the importance and the desire of living a godly life. Help us to see that what our life looks like and our response and our testimonies and how we act, how that influences others. But do we sharpen people or do we dull them? Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to humbly say, Lord, I belong to you. This is your year. What is it that you want me to place as a goal? In Jesus' name, amen.